Thank you very much. Welcome back to the show on Sports Byline here. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast, border to border, around the world on the American Forces Radio Network as well. We're quite happy now to welcome NASCAR star Eric Almirola, the Cuban Missile. And Eric, we're going to talk about your recent victory and other such things, but I did see something through Eric and Richard Petty Motorsports about making a dream come true for a young man, 11-year-old Samuel Sawyer, and talk about what you guys did for him.
Yeah, that was really special to do that this morning. Our sponsor, Eckrich, has been involved with an operation called Operation Homefront, and they've created something called Operation Inspiration, and they try and give back to military families that have come back from fighting at war or whatever that need some help. And we've given cars away, we've given houses away, we've given grocery sweepstakes away, and all on behalf of Eckrich. Today we got to do something really cool. And Samuel Sawyer has spinal bifida. His dad Mike was in the military, and so they needed some help. They had a wheelchair for him, but it wasn't the best of wheelchairs, and he needed a new motorized wheelchair. So not only did we get him a wheelchair painted up like our Eckrich race car, we got it souped up. It's got an extra battery on it, so it goes really fast, and it's got a bunch of bars and stuff around the front of it, so he can play wheelchair soccer at camps and stuff like that. And then on top of that, he's going to go for a week to the Victory Junction Gang Camp, paid for by Eckrich. So just a really cool thing, and I've gotten to do a lot of these sort of surprises over the last 3 years, and they never get old, just to see the smiles on the people's faces and to see how appreciative they are of everything that Eckrich and Operation Inspiration does for them.
That's pretty awesome. Now, Eric, when you talk about sports, there are some numbers that are iconic. You know, in soccer, it's 10. It's Pelé and Maradona. In basketball, you know, Jordan's 23. And in stock car racing, 43 is the number. Even when I was a little kid, we had the STP stickers with the 43 on them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when you realized that not only you were going to race for Richard Petty Motorsports, but that you were going to have that number, what the heck? What an honor.
Yeah, it was. When I got that phone call to have the opportunity to drive this car, is a really big honor, and it's been a lot of fun ever since I've gotten the opportunity in 2012 to now. And I've been saying all along since I've gotten the opportunity that I wanted to be the guy that ended the drought of the 43 car going to Victory Lane. And surely enough, a couple weeks ago at Daytona, we were able to get that done. So it's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed my time here at Richard Petty Motorsports, and we just keep getting better. Everybody on this race team, everybody in the whole organization, is working really hard to build Richard Petty Motorsports back up to the winning team that it was years ago.
First time the number 43 has won a race since 99, of course, talking about the Coke Zero 400 back on July 6th. And you know what's cool about that too, Eric, is now you're going to be in the chase, and I like how it's more win-oriented because, yeah, you can come in third, fourth place and pile up a lot of points, and you are deserving to go, but I like it being win-oriented because it makes guys want to win just a little bit more.
Absolutely. It really does. I mean, we all show up to the racetrack wanting to win every week, don't get me wrong, but there are times when, you know, you run all day and you got a third or fourth place car, and you try and protect that. You try and be a little bit conservative because you know that if you finish in the top five, it's going to be a really good points day. But now with the new format, you know, it makes winning that much more important, and it makes guys a lot more aggressive with their pit calls and strategy, and even inside the race car on restarts and stuff like that when it gets down close to the end. You know, you kind of throw caution to the wind a little bit, trying to do everything you can to get to victory lane.
Rick Tittle with Eric Almirola, NASCAR star, Sprint Cup Series. And the thing I love about a sport like this is that wherever you are in the world, doesn't matter, rich, poor, even man or woman now, if you're good, they will find you. So as an 8-year-old kid, you're in your go-kart. We all did that. When did you find out that you were just a lot better than everybody else?
Well, there's actually plenty of kids that I raced against that were ever bit as good as I was, and they just didn't have the opportunities to go stock car racing or what have you after go-kart racing because their parents couldn't afford it or whatever. But I knew pretty early in my career that, you know, it could be something that could lead to bigger and better things because we were really successful go-kart racing, won a lot of go-kart races throughout the years and won state championships and ran really good in the national championships. So I knew all along that it was something that I wanted to pursue and try and, you know, grow at. And fortunately enough for me that my family could afford to take me and do some stock car racing. I could have never have talked my family into paying for me to go, you know, to any of the NASCAR levels or even the ARCA series levels, but we could afford to race locally in stock cars, and we did that at the best of our ability, and we were successful. We ran good. We won races, and because of that, I got noticed from Joe Gibbs Racing and got an opportunity from him and Reggie White, who were starting a diversity program, to come and drive a late model stock for them in North Carolina, and that was my big break.
Yes, of a Cuban heritage, a Cuban missile, but, you know, born on an Air Force base down there in Florida, truly an all-American story. We're speaking with Eric Almirola. Just a couple more questions for him. I've always been fascinated, Eric, with the etiquette of stock car racing. And, you know, people will joke about trading paint and things, but you'll see guys even in the same team after a race throwing helmets at each other. And I guess that the deal is when you almost get everybody killed doing something stupid, that's when you get mad, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to understand and realize that there are going to be times where you get into each other, whether your teammates or not or whatever. We're racing at 200 mile an hour with very limited grip and sliding all over the place, and we race inches apart. So there's going to be times where you run into each other, and that's just part of it. But when you really get frustrated is when you feel that it was either intentional or that somebody just clearly wasn't using their head. Is when it really gets under the people's skin that it affects, you know what I mean? Other people probably laugh about it, but the people that it affects, the people that get taken out in it or the people that end up having a bad day because of it, they get really pissed off.
Well, you know what else, too, as I think about, Eric, the pit crew, I'm fascinated by pit crews because for a lot of guys, there's a long pecking order to get in there, and it's their dream to be part of that crew, but it is the most thankless job in the world, because if you do everything right, no one outside of you and the team knows those guys' names. But if you do something wrong, you might lose a race at worst or at best, and at worst, you might be set on fire. So,
yeah.
what is the deal with those guys, and that the seconds mean thousands, sometimes millions of dollars?
Oh, for sure. You know, the pit crew guys have the probably the next most exciting job here on the weekends to the driver. You know, they're jumping over the wall. It's intense. They got cars riding around them at 55, 65 mile an hour, depending on the pit road speed at what track we're at. They're trying to change four tires and put 18 gallons of fuel in our race car in less than 12 seconds. And if they make a mistake, it's very costly. You know, if they do everything right and they do it in 12 seconds or less, and we come off pit road, and if we come down pit road fifth and we leave pit road fifth, everybody's happy. If we come down pit road fifth and they have a 16-second pit stop, chances are we're probably going to leave pit road probably 15th, 20th. Hmm. And there's a lot of eyes on them, and everybody's pretty upset. So they have a pretty high-pressure job, and most of them are athletes, and they train really hard, and they work out, and they practice quite a bit. And they can certainly make or break you. That's why, you know, the driver gets most of the credit because his name's above the door and he's the one out there racing it. You know, he's the one that crosses the start-finish line when the checker flag flies. But those pit crew guys are a vital part to having a successful weekend.
All right, very good answer there. Just one more question for you, Eric. And I know some years ago when you were splitting time with Mark Martin, and I just was thinking, you know, here – you've got your own idea of how to race, but as they say, when you know, when you play for a certain football coach, you learn something from him. What are some of the things? Is there anything tangible that a guy like Mark Martin imparted to you?
The biggest thing that I learned from Mark was just that he was really, really, really into it. I mean, there's a lot of guys that get these opportunities to drive in car, rather Nationwide Series or Cup Series and stuff, and they almost take it for granted, you know. And I might have even been a little guilty of that back in 2007, 2008. You almost take it for granted. You almost feel a sense of entitlement, like you've worked hard, you've been successful, and you belong there. Mark Martin felt that way. Mark Martin got up every morning and hit the gym and worked out as hard as he possibly could. And he went to the shop and was involved. And, you know, he made the most out of every single day that he could to try and make himself a better race car driver. Even when he was all the way up to retiring, when he was in his, you know, late 40s, early 50s, he's really into it. And I think that that's the thing that I took away the most from him, is just how dedicated he was.
That's very cool. All right, we've been speaking with Eric Almirola, the Cuban Missile, of course, here talking about Ekrich and Richard Petty Motorsports making a Victory Jensen Camp and dream come true for little Samuel Sawyer, born with spinal bifida. Pretty cool. Hey, Eric, best of luck with the qualifying at the Brickyard, right? And good luck on Sunday, man.
All right, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. And you know, over the years, I have stated that I'm not a race car aficionado, but I can appreciate sport at its highest level. It's just like, I don't like bicycle racing, but I appreciate sport, the Tour de France. I appreciate what those guys have to go through. I'm not a gymnast, but I appreciate the Olympics and things like that. But it's true, when I was in junior high, now we're talking about the 70s here, we had somebody's dad got a bunch of these STP 43 stickers, and we put those 43 stickers on our bikes. We put them on our binders and everything. And that was probably the first race car driver, at least stock car, because we knew some of the Indianapolis 500 guys. And as I got older, I kind of liked Rick Mears because his name was Rick. That's basically the only reason why. But yeah, Petty is, that's just the name. Anyway, Eric Almirola seems like a pretty good guy. And definitely be rooting for him on Sunday at the Brickyard, the John Wayne Brickyard. Come on back.